into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. The body that Paul speaks of here is the local church. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he became sin and bore the wrath that we deserved, those who have repented of their sins against our holy Creator God and put their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins are not only saved from sin, but we are made one in him, one body, one family. This gospel is what unites women from every stage of life and fuels their love for and service to the body. As women, we have been created uniquely to bear God's image, and therefore we have a unique role in building up the body of Christ. In Genesis 2 and 3, we find these God-given roles, helper and mother of all the living, or life giver. And although these roles are given to Eve in the context of the first marriage, they are for all women. How these roles are carried out in each of our lives will look different and will change as our seasons of life change, but our mission is the same. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to follow his pattern by caring for those around us and by making disciples of all nations for his glory. All of us here who are members of Mount Vernon Baptist Church are called in some way to invest in the lives of those in this church. So tonight we will hear from a few of our members what it looks like for them to invest in the life of this church in their particular situation and season of life. So here we go.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, so welcome everybody to our event tonight, Seasons of Grace. We have a panel tonight, and we're going to talk through several questions with our willing panelists who are up here, just through what it looks like to be in different seasons of life in the church. I do have one housekeeping issue that I want to make sure that everybody is aware of. We have started kind of a new security measure tonight and are doing things a little bit differently. So the doors on the outside of the building have actually locked at this point. And there's a sign out there that has Delane's phone number on it. So if anybody has to like go to their car for some reason or something like that, don't think that you can't get back in. Delane's number is out there and she has graciously agreed to be our door monitor, and you can just call or text her, and she will let you back in the building, but that's something new that we're trying, so just making everybody aware so nobody gets locked out. Okay, awesome, so we're going to start now, and I'm just going to start by going down our panel, and we are going to have everybody introduce themselves. So ladies, I want you to just tell us who you are, how long have you been at Mount Vernon, what season of life you're in, and just a little bit about yourself. So, Dina, can you start? And then we'll just go down. Yep.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Oh. Well, I am Dina Reynoso. I have been a member of Mount Vernon for 2 years since 2016. So I got married October 2016. And have been here attending since, and I think I became officially a member that following month, so November 2016. So I've been here since then. I'm married to Seth Reynoso. Many of you might have known him before me. He was here first, and he was my introduction to Mount Vernon, so I got here by way of him. And we don't have any children, but we're hoping to adopt soon. So if you're thinking of ways to pray for us, that's one way that you could be. What else? I'm not working, but my background is operations and project management. So that's what I do. And I just love spending time with folks and women and building relationships. And I've been able to enjoy the seasons when I've not been working to be able to invest and build relationships. So that's been super dope or cool. So I've enjoyed that. So that's me.
I'm Jan Lupus. I am married to Jack. We've been married for 30 years. We've been a member of Mount Vernon since August of 2017. We have three girls, Khaki, who is married to Will, and they have a baby, Sibby, Marjorie, who's married to Jack, and they have Evelyn and Lola, and they're all members here. And then we have a daughter, Hannah, who lives in Nashville. I've been a stay-at-home mom since Khaki was born, so I've not worked out of the home since then, and I feel very blessed by that, and I've been blessed by each and every one of you here tonight. So,
I'm Lisa Crosby. My husband and I, Denny, have been members here for 2.5 years. We have three kids. Dalton is 18, Seneca is 15, and Haddon is 13. Denny and I forgot to say, have been married for 20 years. We just celebrated our 20th in February. So that is a blessing. And along with being a wife and a mom, I'm also a speech-language pathologist at a private clinic in Marietta. So I work about 4 days a week. So that makes things a little full sometimes, but really enjoy our Sunday night, our Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights that we are here to worship with fellow believers.
I am Eden Hutchins. We've been here for, I think, 7.5 years. Don't quote me on that. I've been married to Ricky for 11 years. We have a almost 5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and one on the way. I do not work outside of the home. I am at home with my kids. I think that more or less covers my introduction.
I'm Jenna Cohen. I came to Mount Vernon my junior year of high school, so it's been 9 years, almost. I am a seamstress. I started my own business a couple years ago, and so I specialize in alterations and custom-made things. I think that's it.
Is this on? Okay. I wasn't sure if I needed to do something. My name is Georgiana Brannon. I never married. That wasn't my plan, but apparently that was God's plan. I do have a number of great nieces and nephews now that are just so precious to me, but after 32.5 years in a public school system, I retired, and so I've been in my retirement. I felt like the Lord led me to retire at that time, and it's been full of a lot. It's been great, very different. I started attending Mount Vernon and sometime in late 96, joined in early 98. So it's been 20, how many years is that? 20? A good bit. A good bit. I've been here a long time. Not the longest, but long. Okay.
Great. And I'm going to introduce myself too for those of you who don't know me. I'm not really on the panel, but I'm moderating. I'm Caroline McGill. I've been going to Mount Vernon 3.5 years now, and I work in marketing. I do golf marketing, so interesting fact. That's it about me. Okay, so we're going to go into our questions now, and our first question that we have is actually for four of our panelists, so this one's for quite a few of y'all, but it goes like this. It says, how does the gospel fuel your desire to invest in the life of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so this question is for Eden, Georgiana, Jan, and Jenna. And whoever would like to go first. Eden, you want to go?
I'll go. So several years ago, we had a women's retreat. I sat right there. And I believe it was Jody Ware who taught through some different portions of 1 Peter. So that was the first thing that my brain went to. I was also studying the book of Ephesians at that time with women's ministry, and I just remember the Lord using that season of life to really grip me with the glorious reality of what God is doing in the building of his church. So 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6 says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So in passages like that, and in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, we just see that our salvation is more than an individual relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. It is that, but it is also that Christ died to save a family of people for his glory, and that we are intended to be built up together in such a way that the unity that we showcase in the church confounds the wisdom of the world and showcases the amazing grace by which we have each been saved in Christ. So seeing God's purposes in building the church, seeing his redemptive love for each member of the body, so recognizing that the gospel, that Christ died for me, and he died for each one of you, as well as his love for the church as a body, seeing Jesus described as the cornerstone of the church, and hearing God say that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God, all of those things get me pretty excited about investing in these people.
Jordana, would you like to go next?
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that came to my mind was the fact that we are commanded. Uh-oh.
I have a loud voice, but it's not working, is it? Okay. I'm not used to a microphone. We are commanded to obey the Lord, of course, to obey him. And we are going to give an account. Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And, of course, Jesus has that right to say that, you know, that we are here to glorify him, and we will give an account. And that's motivating to me. Since Jesus has died for me, there's no reason why I should not surrender my life to him. And still working on that. Exactly. There's a song, I don't know if it's a hymn, it's a song, I think it's When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It says, love so amazing, so divine, deserves my life, my all. So what he's done for me, he deserves my complete surrender to whatever he leads me to do. That's my biggest motivation, I think. I'm looking here to see what else did I know. Yeah, I think the teachings here at Mount Vernon are tremendously motivating. The teaching we have here too, which is the gospel.
Jan, would you like to go next?
I sure will. Just meditating on this question, just reading scripture and knowing the Lord more just humbles me that God calls me one of his own. Because his son made me righteous by his death and resurrection, I am justified by his grace and his works. There are no works I have done to deserve this righteousness. The result of this amazing grace, it's the desire of my heart and soul to serve and love the Lord and serve and love the body of Christ, his church. And as I read that too, I was taken to the scripture, Ephesians 3, 21 through 26, and I won't read it because I think we're short on time, but anyway. Read it? Okay. All right. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his faith as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
Jenna?
So I'm a very, very shy person. My first reaction to anything really is to say no or figure out how I can get out of it. And then if I end up going, my main thing I want to do is sit in the corner and just watch. So I feel like the gospel has really helped me like fight my natural reaction. It has given me this love for the church and this desire to be invested and to care for the people in the church. So yeah, I'm just fighting all the time not wanting to talk to people or do anything. But
I'm glad the gospel brought you here tonight, Jenna. Okay, our next question is for Dina and Lisa. And has anybody in the Bible or in person, and I said earlier, I could think about 80 people here at Mount Vernon, been a good example to you of how to faithfully and effectively invest in the life of the church? So, Dina, would you like to go first?
No. Oh, sorry.
Sure.
I was just joking. I don't want to.
She can't think of any of it.
Right. No one came to mind. No. I thought of, and I didn't initially think of this, but it was when a conversation with Chris, actually, we were talking about Priscilla and Aquila, and I was really, like, enamored by just hearing about their story as a couple, and what I really, after I began to look into them a little bit more, I had come to find that Priscilla and Aquila developed such meaningful relationships with Paul and Apollos and so many others in the body. They traveled with Paul to, you know, Rome and Ephesus, and so they were missionaries, and they were tent makers by trade, and were able to, and it's even, I didn't write the scripture down, but it is in the Bible, that they traveled with Paul. They were hospitable. They opened their home. Their home was a gathering place for the gospel, and I felt super encouraged by just learning about that example of investing. They cared about what they were diligent learners. They were faithful to investing, and they were companions. So I thought that picture of a faithful servant was just really, really sweet.
Thank you.
Lisa? Yeah, so I became a Christian when I was about 14. And part of that leading up to becoming a Christian was actually being involved in a church in my hometown where I saw particularly two ladies who did just this. They invested in the church. And one of the things that the Lord helped me to see as I was considering who I was and who he was and that I was a sinner, was just their love for each other and their love for the church. And that was one of the things that drew me in, partly because it was in stark contrast to my home life. And so for me, that was probably like the most memorable two people who were influential in my life to point me to Christ and who invested in the church. But also, I don't want to name names, but there's been just numbers of you since we've come here for 2.5 years who have invested in me by talking with me after the service, asking questions about my kids and, you know, how our adjustment has been. We were overseas for 8 years, so coming back to the States, and so just having those questions and investing in me and knowing that maybe you don't know what the right question is to ask, but you do it anyway, and I get to experience sharing with you maybe what's going on in my life, and then also hearing from you. And particularly when people come up to me and say, how can I pray for you? That's just wonderful. So thank you, all of you who have asked to pray for me.
Yeah, that's great. And I agree. I think that there are so many people here at this church who do a fantastic job of encouraging all of us to serve more and to plug in more. I know that that's been a huge blessing in my own life. Okay, so our next question is for Georgiana, Eden, and Dina, and it is, how has investing in the life of the church been rewarding and or led to spiritual growth in yourself and others, whether it is discipling, teaching, hospitality, or being a part of other ministries? Wow, that's a big, very open question. So, Georgiana, okay, would you like to go first?
I'll start down here. I think the Lord's called me into working with the children quite a bit, and I think that is one of my, you know, a motivating area for me in a way. And, you know, when you give, you get more back. Let me make sure I'm answering the question correctly. Sometimes I get way off. But it does follow the pattern of Jesus by caring for those around you. And when you care about people, they care back for you. You know, this church is very relational and, you know, very, I don't know, loving and caring. I can kind of identify with Jenna. In the past, I've been very shy. And the Lord's changed that a lot with me. I have a friend who said, I can't believe you were shy. And I am. I have to learn, you know, how to reach out and talk to people. And so, you know, this church has helped tremendously in that. I do really feel like I'm part of a family. And that in turn motivates me to do the same, you know, to be outgoing and to be, you know, care and concern for other people. One of the blessings of working with the children is that you get to know the younger families. And, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily a whole lot of contact in that way. Also, discipling younger women, you know, it's a little scary. I'm shaky, but I'm growing in that too. So it's been very, you know, lots of areas to grow in. I think basically it's when you love, you get love back. I mean, you really do. People are caring. I do have a scripture here, if I can find it. This is 2 Corinthians, and I didn't write down the reference. Blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And I hope I've been an encourager of others who were faltering. Anyway.
I think that's it. Eden?
So this was the hardest question for me because I could say thousands of ways that investing in the life of the church has been rewarding and has led to spiritual growth. But right now I'm teaching first grade Sunday school, and I taught the same group in kindergarten last year. So again, I work with the kids a lot, like Georgiana. And when I was thinking of rewarding and spiritual growth, both of those things stuck out to me in that particular area of service because we're going through the storyline of the Bible. So last August, I started with these kindergartners teaching about the creation of the world. And now, Chuchen and I, the last couple weeks, we just got to talk about the incarnation of Christ with them. And so I can't even articulate how rewarding it is to watch a group of first graders who understand the storyline of the Bible probably better than I did in college, honestly. So that's been extremely rewarding and extremely helpful in my spiritual growth because I've had to take all of these theological truths and figure out how do I boil this down for a kindergartner or a first grader to understand. So that's been extremely fruitful. I also find that most of my conversations about the gospel or about parenting or about marriage or about most anything basically come around to me passing along counsel that has been given to me by another person in this room. I can't tell you how many times, and if you talk to me a lot, you know that this is true. What comes out of my mouth is, you know, Dina said to me one time, or Jamie once told me that, or whatever, insert the name, Jocelyn said one time that. And so just the spiritual growth that I've experienced while sitting around dining room tables and coffee tables, attending baby showers and wedding showers, standing around outside on Sunday nights. I think you were talking about that, just like the Sunday night conversations. Meeting with covenant groups, passing people in the hallway, and having a conversation, making me late to my class that I'm trying to get to. But it's just so hard to express how much God has grown me through those everyday iron sharpening iron conversations that I've had over the past 7.5 years. Because so much of your counsel is just rooted in my heart. I think that is all I have to say about that.
I have more, but I don't need to share.
So similar to Eden, where I want to pick up the answer in answering this question is going to be as it relates to relational side of things. So I believe and have witnessed and experienced that investing in the local church can produce beautiful, long-lasting, just long-standing relationships of depth. And I think that that is just super sweet. And it's something sweet about knowing that God put himself out there to be known by us. I mean, he knows everything about us, but he wants us to know him, and he delights in that. And I just believe that we are retreating away from that example if we're not investing in the local church. I believe by leaning in to the body of Christ and not neglecting the gathering together and participating in the rhythms of the local church, and we have plenty of those here. I mean, we have, you know, whether it's showers or Wednesday night, Sunday gathering, like just so many opportunities. And I do feel like we're blessed to be at a church where we're ripe with opportunities for being able to be in a place where we can look to invest and be invested in. So I personally, again, have been able to just get to know women and to have women get to know me through these various avenues. And God has been faithful to deepen and strengthen these relationships. And to the point where I now have this term, like I call some women like sister friends. Like I have some sister friends up in the church. And I have seen just wonderful and beautiful examples of discipleship and training. Like I needed it as a new wife. I looked forward to the opportunity of being trained in how to submit and love my husband well. Like I looked for that. I wanted that. And I'm just so thankful that I didn't have to look very, very far. Oh, I'm going long, right? Oh, okay. Very, very far. I was like really feeling this question. I was like, yeah. But just the hospitality submission, like I just looked forward to that, to just learn how to do that well. I mean, even though I got married like at 34, I just had so much I felt like to learn. And we had, and Mount Vernon has been a part of every step of my marriage. Like we were, our pre-engagement was with the Lees. And I'm so, so thankful for that. And I have been reading through the book of Hebrews. And while for me, I had always associated the book of Hebrews with being like the faith book, I have learned so much about it being about enduring well, finishing well, and I have found that in Hebrews, and I was really encouraged by Hebrews 3, 12, and 13, and I'm just going to read a little bit, or read it all. which
all of 12 and 13?
So Hebrews 3, 12, and 13 says, watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be any of you in evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. And I think it's important to invest in the local church, in this particular, even particularly this body of women, because we need to be in one another's lives so that we can encourage one another with God's written truth in scripture and the truth of the gospel to join together to fight against the deceitfulness of sin. And as we grow stronger, the body gets stronger, the church gets stronger and is built up. And I recall a conversation I had with Marianne Knowles, and she was like, we're sisters. We can fight this, you know, sin together. And I just love that. And it really, I love the way that you didn't know that maybe you were doing it, but you were speaking scripture back to me. So that is what I mean by investing. I felt very invested in that moment, and I appreciate you for that. So I encourage every woman and everyone, it's not a phase of life thing. Pursue investing in the life of the church in a meaningful way, and mine for the goal that is at this local body. And we'll just, you know, and walk alongside one another to become more like Christ. That was long. That was healthy. That was healthy.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so this next question is for Jan and Lisa, and it's two parts, so I'm going to ask y'all the first part, and then we'll come back and ask the second part. Okay, so the question is, as important as it is to invest in the life of the church, how do you keep your other God-given responsibilities primary, whether that, I mean, your relationship with Jesus, your job, your husband, your children, extended family, etc.? And have you seen the effects of not doing this? So, Jan, would you like to start us out?
May I? Well, God has poured a lot of grace over me in my life, and he started out by giving me parents who modeled a great balance of church and family. So through them, I got to learn what that looks like, to love the Lord well, to love the church body well, to love my spouse well, and to love my children well and my friends, and still be involved in the body of Christ. So how I put this into practice, first thing in the morning, most mornings, I have a particular chair I sit in and I do my quiet time. I go to the Lord in prayer. I pray for his wisdom. I praise him. I pray for his wisdom and counsel in every aspect of my life. I pray for my husband. I pray, and sometimes Jack will be somewhere around, and I ask him how I can pray for him and how I can help him, how I can support him in what he's doing, and how is he spiritually, and just be a helpmate to him. And so that's what I do for that. And then I also pray for my children and my grandchildren now. And I just lift all these up in prayer to him. And I ask for wisdom to prioritize all these things, because sometimes, most often, I'll get things flipped around because I'm self-centered and I want to do what I want to do sometimes. And that's not always what's best for myself or for my family or for my church. So anyway, that's how I keep things in balance. I take it to the Lord and I practice it. It's just practicing it and just having those, practicing the ordinary means of grace every day. It's great practice. Which led me to scripture, 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Lisa? Okay. So for me, investing in the life of the church means seeking to help each other remember our Lord, his holiness, our need for his perfect plan for redemption because of our sin. And as 1 Peter 1:3b says, that we have a living hope through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need these reminders as we carry out our other God-given responsibilities, especially when we feel the responsibilities are more than we can bear. Life in the church as one family means we bear with one another through the thousands of moments, the good, the bad, and the messy, involving our God-given responsibilities. So in our family, we have 3 teenagers, 1 in middle school and 2 in high school, and one is working, he's 18, and so there's a lot of different moving pieces within our family. It's not the play dates, I mean, not to say that we're worse off, not in any way, but just it's a different season, and there's homework that needs to be done, there's after-school practices, and honestly, sometimes our kids are fighting with each other, or they're quarreling with Denny or me, and based on the environment in our home, sometimes we may say, you know, we're just going to stay home. We're not going to go to church Wednesday night. The kids have homework, and sometimes we have to say, we're very sorry. You were procrastinating and didn't get your homework done, so we're just going to go. And we're going to enjoy fellowship at the dinner, and then we're going to go to our classes, and we're going to fellowship with our friends after church, and then you get to come home and finish your homework. So in all of that, trying to say, sorry, I kind of lost my thought. We want to invest in the church, but sometimes we do have to take a step back and look at what is happening in our family. And part of it is, too, that we live about 30-minute drive away. So investing is important, and we do those things periodically, not all the time, and we don't feel condemnation, not from you guys and not within ourselves, to not be here. But we can then afterwards, or we can let someone know, hey, we weren't there tonight because of XYZ. So sometimes we feel like dealing with a sin issue within our family is more important at that time, especially since our kids are older and they can understand and relate more to us. And maybe the time will pass, you know, and we kind of sweep it under the rug and we don't deal with it. But it's the sin issue of their heart that's really important to us in that time. And so sometimes we may not make the investing in the church the priority. So we keep our family that priority in that time. I read a lot. I would say one of the questions was about extended family and the responsibilities that come there. Thankfully, both our families have good health, and so we're not, you know, dealing with aging parents at this time. But we know that it will come, and that we will need the support of our sisters in Christ to encourage us. I did say also that I work. So the priority of work is sometimes hard to keep in a time frame. because a lot of the work that I do is paperwork, and I can't get it done during the day. And so it comes home with me. And sometimes I even think about it at church, and it makes it hard to invest sometimes because I have that in the back of my mind. There have been times that I've come to church and it's been on my mind, and maybe I just leave afterwards. And that's selfish on my part to not invest in the ladies, in you all, because I haven't done something at work. But there's no condemnation in that. It's just a recognition that that I still need to invest and be faithful with that. So this one last part, sorry. So I'm going to talk about my relationship with Jesus a little bit, in two parts, I think. But later, I'll talk about the other half. So my relationship with Jesus is the most important God-given responsibility. I am the recipient of his grace. I was dead, but I have been made alive in Christ. Priority in this relationship happens through Bible study and prayer, through abiding in Christ, through pursuing and speaking the truth of God's word into my life and not trusting in my own understanding. One of the verses that I memorized when I first became a believer was Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I'm reminded of these verses, especially when I'm prone to wander and forget, or when I'm entangled with a sin of self-sufficiency. When I am in a wandering state, praying for God to give me the longing, the thirsting, and the panting for him, and thanking him for allowing me to recognize my need is the work of the Spirit. So I think that was all I had to say about that.
Can I ask the follow-up question real quick to this one?
Yeah.
Okay. For both of you, is just, what are some practical ways to invest when your time is limited?
Question? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just said, just I'd really like quickly. To read this because I'm going to forget what I want to say if I don't read it, so sorry, y'all. Sometimes I don't think we give enough attention and weight to the power of prayer. We are an instant gratification society that likes to see results immediately, or at least help God determine the answer to the prayer I just prayed. Prayer is the means of grace God has given us to approach his holy throne through his Son. It's so important to pray before any action is required. So while I may be needing to help a sick friend or aging parent that is taking me physically away from church, the prayers I'm asking are for his purpose and glory. There's always time to pray at home, in the car, while you're vacuuming, while I'm watching my grandchildren. There's always time to pray, and that is needed first and foremost. Anyway, so.
Great. Lisa?
Okay, well, I just did some bullet points. Some ways that I thought of, and some of them we do currently as a family, would be to plan to have a church family or church members over monthly or either by the trimester. You can send a message to the MVBC Ladies Facebook page of ways that sisters can pray for you. I've seen many of those recently. Stick around after the services to speak face-to-face with members and visitors. Invite a family or two to pack picnic lunches after church on the front lawn and eat together. Send a message or call to ask someone how you can pray for them. Volunteer for children's ministry. choose one person or family to pray for during the month, which goes with your prayer. And then try to sit with someone new during the services so you can get to know them. So those were some I had.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, next question is for Jenna. Just Jenna, nobody else. So she gets this one all to herself. So Jenna, what do Titus II relationships with other Mount Vernon ladies look like for you? And how has it helped you to fold into the life of the church?
So as I mentioned earlier, I am extremely shy. So the idea of starting this type of relationship terrified me. I don't make friends easily. So the idea of getting personal with somebody was very scary. But it has been such an encouragement to have this relationship. She's like my big sister. And we read together, we pray together, and then I get to hang out and kind of be a part of their family. And it's just so neat to watch her love her husband and raise her children and teach them, and how she constantly works the gospel into conversations with her children and with neighbors has really helped me kind of think of how I can work that into conversations, and it's just been an encouragement. And this relationship has also encouraged me to fight my flesh, to not fear man, to work hard on creating more relationships and work towards stronger ones within the body.
Great, awesome, thank you. Okay, next question for Eden, just Eden. Have you changed things in your life in order to be able to invest in the life of the church, like improving organization, reducing busyness, reorganizing priorities, etc.?
Okay, I have a couple of bullet points. So the first thing that came to my mind is that we moved a few years ago, like 4 years ago, I think. And when we bought our house, proximity to church and to other members of the church was top priority for us. We also considered hospitality as we looked at houses. We looked for a house that would allow us to host small groups and a house that might even allow us to house visiting missionaries or church members if necessary. So that was like a big change that we made that has really helped in investing in the life of the church in a big way. We were already invested in the life of the church prior to having kids, so I would say that we are kind of in a constant process of trying to wisely center our life as a family around the life of the church, similar to what you were sharing earlier. Being at the gatherings of the body of the church is a real priority for us, and so sometimes we have to disrupt the routine that our kids are accustomed to in order to make that happen. We think that's good and healthy for all of us. Sometimes, however, we have to recognize our limitations. We have to wave our white flag of surrender and recognize that the particular season of parenting or sleep training or whatever that we are in requires us to take a step back from certain things and hunker down at home a little bit more. So very similar to what you were saying. An example is, many of you know that my husband leads worship on Sunday mornings. And so when we first had our second child, Ricky was basically leading or participating in worship every single Sunday morning, which means that he had to be there at 8 a.m. And so after a couple of Sundays of doing my very best to get myself and my nursing newborn and my two-year-old to Sunday school all by myself, we just had to make the decision to bow out of Sunday school for a season. We came to service because we want to, but also because that's kind of a non-negotiable in the Bible. You know, like God doesn't really give us room necessarily. I mean, certainly for like short seasons, but God doesn't really give us the luxury of saying like, we're just not going to gather with the body this week or this for the next long season of life. But Sunday school was optional, and for our family and for all of our sanity, it was just on the chopping block for a season. So I guess all I'm saying is that we have, as a family, we have a priority and a goal of gathering with the body of Christ as often as we can. And so we are prayerfully considering always how we can stretch ourselves and our family. And I guess maybe that's a helpful word. Like we really are trying to stretch our family and stretch ourselves to be there within reason to gather as often as possible. Whether, you know, trying really hard not to let things like sleep schedules and things like that rob our family of being at the church. So within reason, but those are certainly some changes that we've had to make. And then the last one that I included was that we've just had to change our idea of serving and investing in the church together. This has required and continues to require some death to self on my part. Because prior to having kids, Ricky and I were invested in the church, and we often served together, and we sang together, we served side by side, we sat together, we went to people's houses all the time together. And that is not often what serving the church looks like for us right now. So oftentimes my service to the church looks like holding down the fort at home and freeing up my husband to serve. And the Lord has been gracious to forgive my resentment at times and to show me how my time apart from my husband, being at home with my kids, is a way that I am investing in the body of Christ. Here I go. Dina Minnikoff once helpfully pointed me to Proverbs 31:23. In the midst of a long and harrowing description of this godly woman in Proverbs 31, there is a statement that says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." So given the context, I believe we are to assume that this fact that her husband is known by the elders is a result of her caring for her household. And so it's been helpful to me remembering that, and has given me joy in my role as a wife and as a mother to see that my care for my household is a tool that the Lord uses to free up my husband, be a blessing to him, and ultimately be a blessing to the body of Christ as I share him with you guys.
Thank you. Okay, next one is for just Lisa. What do spiritual disciplines look like at this point in your life? And why is it important to nourish your own soul? And have you ever experienced the ill effects of neglecting your own soul? Kind of a deep
okay.
point.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the question that really begs for transparency through the lens of grace extended. I'd like to paint a picture, a perfect picture, a picture-perfect pursuit of my own personal spiritual disciplines. But the exercise of the spiritual disciplines in my life looks kind of negligible at times, and particularly in the last couple of years, actually. So I'm going to have a play on words here. So whether I try weekly, meaning I try weekly to do it, or I try weekly, as in 7 days a week, to pursue prayer and Bible reading. It's not part of my daily routine. I am so very prone to wander, to leave the God that I love, to forget. I forget to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles me. I forget to run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for me. I forget to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. In saying all of that, I want to encourage you, if any of you are in that position, to praise God you recognize it, and pray for the longing. Press into other sisters in Christ who will encourage you to pursue prayer and Bible reading and who will point you to the gospel. So, obviously, I recognize that it is important that nourishing my soul helps me know the triune God. It helps me know his love and be able to express it to others. It helps me to serve God, my family, and my coworkers, and the clients that I work with thanksgiving. It helps me see sin more clearly and hastens me to repentance. It's important also in defending against wandering and forgetting. So in saying all of that, it doesn't look very great right now. but I know the effects of it are tremendous on my family, and it's tremendous on sisters in Christ who are walking with me. So that's where I am.
Can I just encourage you?
Yes.
There are days that are coming that you will have time. You will have time. It's a busy time for you right now, but the Lord has so graciously carved out that extra time in my life as an empty nester and now a new grandmother. But I just want to encourage all of you young moms that he's graceful. Grace covers all that too, and it's a wonderful time.
Thank you for your transparency there, Lisa. The next question that we have is for Georgiana and Jenna. So God designed women to uniquely bear his image. So we are called to be life givers, nurturing others for his glory. What does it look like for you to follow the pattern of Jesus by caring for those around you? Georgiana, would you like to go first?
Okay, you know what I did? I read the answer to the wrong question.
Oh, no. Would you like to answer this one for us, maybe?
Let me see.
You can answer
maybe
a different not, maybe question not,
maybe
if you
not,
want to.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm not too confused.
Jenna, would you like
all
to
right,
go?
All right, here we go. I'm thinking, did I answer the right question? Anyway, designed to bear his image. Yes, I think that's where the children's ministry has come in my life. I've worked with children for 32 and a half years. Not in a spiritual context, but also, and then it's easy to just come right into to working in the church, and it is a place where you get to know the families, and it gets you out of your age range, you know, and out of your generation, which is good. It builds the family. and I've thought about nurturing, and I know we've mentioned this. I think it's come up. But I've thought about some of it structured, and it is like a Sunday school class or, you know, a group that you meet regularly, and you get to know certain children and families. And then it's the unstructured, and this is something that I thoroughly enjoy here at Mount Vernon, is in the hallway, just talking to people. Hi, how are you doing? So many people, you know, getting a hug from somebody, you know, talking to someone else. That builds you up, and And I'm hoping that I do the same in return to people. It's just great to be able to be on the receiving end of that, and then also to, you know, step up. Let me see what else I have put on here. I do like to go places, and I do go on mission trips. And I'm not saying I'm always motivated 100% correctly, because I like to go places. But anyway, but I've thought I have face-to-face with children, you know, when I get there. So anyway, I think that's, you know, not totally, not 100%. But I think that is how some of that nurturing comes through to me. And like I mentioned, I have started discipling and younger women, and that's another, it's new to me recently, new. And one of the things that I've thought about, I heard somebody say one time, well, I'm not qualified to do that. And I thought, well, I'm not qualified. But I think in the things that we do, God qualifies you. You know, he gives you that ability and that love and that caring for the people he brings into your life. So, no, I'm not qualified, but he qualifies me. Let me see what else. Yeah, I think getting out of your age bracket. I like the fact that we have Sunday school and we are all different ages, married, single, whatever. I really like that. We don't just associate with those of our own age, then faithfully step out and volunteer for an area of service. So my exhortation to people would be, we grow tremendously through serving and being with other people, because you learn from other people. I get motivated by other people and tremendously blessed.
Jenna?
My answer is very similar. That I think the best way for me right now to care for people is to serve within the church. God has placed these people in my life, and I love my church, and so what better way than to serve in my church? And so right now I serve within the children and VBS, and I kind of got out of my comfort zone this last year and started working with the youth, which is not my comfort zone because I'm used to little kids that I can just say, okay, eyes up here. But the youth do not appreciate it when you say that to them. So that has been very, I think, encouraging for me, just to kind of be able to pour into these lives, maybe, I hope. And I think I have grown just from the last couple months of working with the youth.
Thank you. Okay, Jan, you're up next. Okay. So at Mount Vernon, the pastors and elders ask people to make the commitment of coming to an evening service for the purpose of knowing others and being known. Has this level of commitment and accountability made your membership at Mount Vernon important and valuable?
It certainly has. God created us in his perfect design to be relational, first with him and then with others. And of course, the body of Christ falls right at the top. So to get to know others and to be known, it just kind of requires that extra time at church, not just on Sunday morning. Sunday mornings are great. We all stay and visit with each other. And it's such a neat thing. Every church doesn't have that. We came from a church that we were there for 13 years. We never did that. We just scooted out the side door and, you know, we didn't socialize. But here, it's community. I mean, it really is the body of Christ. And coming on Sunday night or Wednesday night, having dinner with everyone and just introducing myself. We have so many new members. I mean, I'm pretty new, but we've got a lot newer than me here now. And if you didn't do that extra night or time at church, then we wouldn't get to know each other very well. And when we joined the church, we were doing the year was on hospitality, and so Aaron was just so good to encourage us to do that. And we encourage each other to do that, to have others in our home from our church to get to know each other well, and to just to know where you are and how can I encourage you and how can I love you and walk with you and just to get to know the church, MVBC. And so, yeah, it's necessary and it's a blessing.
Thank you. Okay, our last question is for Dina. She's ready for it. So, how do you decide if a particular serving opportunity is something you should do? How can we as women in different seasons of life bring these issues, and ideas for serving under the leadership of godly men.
So how I serve here at Mount Vernon is different from the way that I historically have served at other churches. And for me, it has been important to become clay in this area and then allow the Lord to shape me into the role of service where I can be effective for the growth of the church. And so I have wanted to be open and have been open to seeing what serving the church looks like, you know, and being diligently prayerful about how to invest and serve the body. So there are seasons in all of our lives where that just looks different. It'll just look different. But I love that there are just so many ways to be able to serve the body. There's not a set like do this and you're a part. I mean, I think that the Lord is so gracious to allow us to be creative in how we are able to do that, to serve. And I appreciate that. And I do not want, I think another woman said it, or maybe several women have said, that just the importance, though, of prayer. I know that you've emphasized prayer, which is tremendously important. And just seeking the Lord and trusting him. Georgiana, you spoke about not being qualified. Trusting the Lord to bring about the fruit and to the equip you with joy in serving in whatever that role is. And I have presented several ideas, or maybe a few. Some of them have, you know, been accepted and some haven't, but I trust our elders. And I believe, and that's why we're members here, is that we trust the men that the Lord has given to this church. And I know that God, I read this in a book, that God is in the yeses as much as he is in the noes. So I appreciate, you know, knowing that I can put things before our leadership and know that it will be prayerfully and thoughtfully considered. And no matter what the other end of that answer is, I know that there has been work to be able to vet that. And then I trust that the decision that they have landed on is beneficial for the body.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, ladies. So we're actually, we don't have much time. We thought we were going to have more time to do a little bit of a Q&A. If anybody in the audience would like to ask a question of the panel, I think we could do one or two questions if anybody's interested in asking something on topic, not just like anything. These are great women, and we could ask them lots of questions, but anything to do with our topic tonight. And to motivate you, we have a series of books, because at Mount Vernon we give away great literature. so if you would like to ask a question, we have a couple of options for you. We have, none of these are really on topic, but they're great for women in any season of life. One is Habits of Grace, about spiritual disciplines by David Mathis, and the other one is Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. So if you would like either of those and would like to ask a question, now is your opportunity. Anybody? We have a microphone Kirsten has if you'd like to ask a question. No questions? Y'all just answered it all, ladies. Up. Kaylee's up.
That's very loud. So I'm just wondering if any of y'all have any advice for someone who is seeking, who desires like to be discipled, but also like feels like everyone's booked. And just how to approach that with like discernment and like prayerfulness without just like, I don't know, unnecessarily like feeling like they're heaping a burden upon someone.
Anybody want to go for this one? Eden?
I think Aaron encouraged us at one point to ask the elders, you know, to say, like, I'm looking for someone to disciple me, because they kind of have their finger on the pulse a little bit better than we do of who all is in a season of life where they could do that, and who's already booked. So I think they've encouraged us in the past to ask an elder, to say, I'm seeking this. I would really like to have this. Could you recommend somebody? And then I think just, you know, in the way you ask, you can give freedom to somebody to say no. You can just ask in such a way that, you know, you're not heaping this on them as if they have to do it. They can pray about it and turn you down. So it's kind of in their court. You don't have to feel like you're the one making them do this. You know what I mean?
That's good. Any other questions? Inviting face? No? Okay. Okay, well, if that's all we have, then we're right on time that we need to transition into our table discussions.